fighting the flu, and maybe turning a profit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. As you've been hearing this morning, world governments are working to contain a swine flu outbreak. The epicenter is in Mexico, where this flu is suspected in more than 100 deaths. Spain is the latest country to confirm a case this morning. Fears of a potential pandemic are weighing on stocks. But as Christopher Worth tells us from London, two big pharmaceutical companies are getting a boost.
Shares in Switzerland's leading drug maker, Roche, are up nearly 4% this morning. The company says it's scaling up production of Tamiflu. The drug's been shown to be an effective vaccine against the virus. In the UK, GlaxoSmithKline, which manufactures its own vaccine against deadly flu viruses, is also gaining in the markets. Glaxo's drug is called Relenza. Both drug makers have been approached by the World Health Organization about their readiness to deploy stocks in the case of a pandemic. Roche says it stands ready with 3 million treatments, but warned further production could take up to 8 months. Commercial impact for the drug makers could be muted, as many countries have already developed stockpiles from earlier threats of avian flu. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Some pharmaceutical stocks are up, but overall swine flu fears are a drag. Major European markets off 1 to 2%. Asian stocks closed mostly lower. Airlines, hotels, and other travel companies are hard hit. On Friday, the Dow added 119 points and closed at 8,076. Some fresh earnings news this morning. Verizon has posted a higher-than-expected first-quarter profit. Humana says profits more than doubled, better than Wall Street forecasts. Whirlpool profits fell 28%. That was better than Wall Street's expectation, though. And Whirlpool predicts a profitable 2009. Now, this morning's other big story is in Detroit. General Motors just announced it will cut 21,000 U.S. factory jobs by next year and phase out the Pontiac brand, all part of GM's efforts to restructure and get more government help. Meanwhile, Chrysler still faces a real threat of bankruptcy, but yesterday it took a big step towards survival. Tracy Sambleton is auto industry reporter for Michigan Radio. Tracy, what did Chrysler pull off this weekend?
Chrysler accomplished what some folks were not certain they could do. They got additional concessions from the Canadian auto workers and the United Auto Workers. These are going to be fairly significant cuts to benefits and supplemental pay.
And the big judge presiding over this, so to speak, is the government. How is it going to react
right
to the deal?
I can't imagine that they're anything but very relieved. What this does is just puts all the pressure on the one stakeholder right now that hasn't cut a deal with Chrysler. Now all the attention is going to focus on the investors, the banks, and the hedge funds that hold most of Chrysler's secured debt.
This is a huge obstacle, Tracy. What do you expect to happen with the creditors?
Well, it is a huge obstacle because they're very far apart at this point in terms of the deals they've been swapping back and forth. The government wants the hedge funds and the investors to write off more than two-thirds of their debt. They do not want to do anything near that. And there already is a huge amount of political pressure on these banks, these investor groups, to deal, to keep Chrysler out of bankruptcy. We had Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm on Saturday saying, who knew these banks would take that bailout money for themselves and then kill this great industry? So you're going to see some really strong rhetoric to try to pressure these groups to deal with Chrysler.
Tracy Sambleton is Michigan Radio's automotive industry reporter. Tracy, thank you.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
Over the weekend, yet another friend told me that the economic fallout has her considering heading back to college. At the same time, though, states are slashing their education budgets. Nowhere are those two realities colliding harder than at America's largest institution of higher learning. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Miami-Dade College has absorbed as many new students in the past 2 years as the total student population of the University of Miami. State funding has not kept pace.
Right now, have the equivalent of 15,000 students for which we're not getting a penny from the state.
That's Eduardo Padron, president of Miami-Dade College. He's had to cancel class sections, cut student services, and postpone needed repairs. But there's one thing he's unwilling to do. With a third of his students living in poverty, he won't jack up tuition.
Every time we raise tuition by $1, it's the difference between putting food on the table and going to school.
With a total college enrollment of 170,000 students, the 8 campuses are bursting at the seams. Christian Moreno is student government president at the Kendall campus. It takes him 30 minutes to find parking before class. Students can wait up to 4 hours to see an advisor. Students with campus jobs now face layoffs.
Last year, they gave everybody in the school an agenda. It was a simple agenda, but it was tailored specifically for our campus. And now, this year, it was a very limited supply, first come, first serve. There wasn't enough for everybody.
Community colleges around the country, from North Carolina to Maine to Washington State, face a similar situation. Inadequate funding, skyrocketing enrollment. Alan Berube is with the Brookings Institution. He says the federal stimulus sets aside a few billion for higher ed, but it won't be enough to save community colleges.
They have the infrastructure to educate a population of, say, 20,000 students, and they're trying to cram 40,000 students into that same space. There's got to be a breaking point somewhere.
Padron says that breaking point has arrived. Miami-Dade may soon have to break its unwritten contract with the community, never to turn anyone away.
This is the workforce of the future. And if we fail to train them, who's going to pay Social Security taxes so all of us can retire? Who's going to provide the well-trained labor force to be competitive with China and India and Europe? Who's going to lead this nation?
Padron is now pushing for a halfpenny tax in the county so he can start building more classrooms. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
So how's the recession changing your plans? Tell us your story at marketplace.org. Just click on contact. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.